Has anyone ever had to take care of a family member for some time? Whether they've lived in your home or maybe you've had to go to their home or wherever they've been living and just to help take care of them. I know I did. There we go! Another question. Has anyone ever been in an emergency situation where maybe you had to call 911 or an ambulance, or maybe someone had to call that for you, or maybe you were helping someone with their emergency? There we go. What about a situation where someone needed to take care of you? Maybe it was just a little thing, maybe it was a little bit of a head cold. Or it could be something little, it could be something that was pretty dire and intense. An emergency or a non-emergency, who's been there? There we go. And she's doing great back there with taking care of Andy, so she knows what it's all about. Because in this sermon today, I want to talk about vulnerability and how Christ comes to us in our vulnerability and how Christ is our caretaker. Just this great theme of care that we see in this passage just for a little bit of how God, of how Christ cares for others and how we are called to receive Christ's care, whether it be directly through Christ or through other people. So, y'all know my little bundle back there. His name is Andy. He's going to be 10 months in like less than a week. Just found that out this morning. Time flies by. And on a day like today, yes, I'm talking about you, buddy. He just arched his back. On a day like today, I can't help but remember the day when he was born. So, it was a long night, I'll say. It was a very long night. And it was at 3 a.m. because I was up the whole night. My husband was up the whole night. And it was at 3 a.m. that I had contractions. And my husband had just tried to go to bed. I thought it was like a minute. Apparently it was 10 minutes. And I immediately called him on the phone. I was in the living room. He was in the bedroom. So we were just like a hallway's distance. And I was just calling him, well, in pain in the recliner. And I said, maybe we should go now. So already we have those themes of vulnerability. Because I was vulnerable as the birth giver, as someone who was 9 months ready to pop and in excruciating, excruciating pain. And my husband, God bless him, he was vulnerable too. Because he was super sleep deprived. I mean, forget me, I've got enough to keep me awake. But here he was, worried, sleep deprived, and needing to drive me to the hospital while basically being the person in charge. Because with all the pain I was going through, I don't know how they expected me to fill out any of the paperwork. I was lucky if I could sign my own name. And now, while we were in great care at the hospital, that vulnerability continued. Of course it continued the way that you'd, expect. It's an intense situation, But it kind of went up a couple notches. Because labor was going well. Every couple hours they checked, I got more and more and more dilated. It was like, okay, everything's going fine as planned. And then all of a sudden, at 7 centimeters, it just stopped. It was just like a pause. Kind of like when you're downloading something from the internet and all of a sudden your internet just stops and you're just like, why has it been like 52% for like X amount of time? Like, what's going on here? So, I mean, we got a lot of good medical technology. God bless our doctors and our nurses and our scientists. So they just got me a drip of Pitocin to help get the contractions going. Seems so simple. And I'm great with medication. get me a Motrin, get me whatever. I'm all set. My body seems great. Except while the medicine did work and the contractions were increasing again, it didn't really work so well for Andy. Because now with the contractions speeding up, his umbilical cord got stuck somewhere, and now it was affecting his heart rate. So baby is being little tykes. They have a pretty fast heart rate. So he went from like 160 beats per minute to 60. So if y'all know, 80 plus 80 is 160. So it went in half and even a little bit less than that. So that was just super scary. Heart rate immediately in half. And they had me in all types of different positions. It was like a weird yoga or Pilates class. They had me in all those positions that you see on those sheets. Downward dog, warrior, whatever. They had me in all the positions and nothing worked. Maybe for like a little bit, but it was still bad. And so, not only were my husband and myself vulnerable in that moment, but our son was too. Before he even emerged into the world, he faced extreme vulnerability. What would happen? I know it's scary, but it has a happy ending, buddy. At that time, we weren't just putting our hands into the doctors and nurses, but we were putting our trust, laying down our vulnerabilities before God. We presented our fear and our pain, our hope, and our anxious love before God, trusting that His presence would guide us and would guide the doctors and those with us to bring some sort of comfort, some peace, and hopefully some sort of resolution in this situation. And so, to make a long story short, had a C-section, and boom, he's here. It's almost 10 months. It's great. But yes, this passage has made me think about vulnerability and how the Lord embraces us for all that we are and all that we experience and all that we feel. In our gospel passage for today, we see a demon-possessed man appearing before Jesus. His mind is stricken and his body is naked, and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And it's such a vivid passage, because normally when Jesus is healing and helping people, we just imagine a regular person like you or me going up to him, maybe a bit sick, like a leper, going up to Jesus and bestowing their faith upon him and it being so simple. But here we have someone who had been bound and chained, so we can imagine any bruises or markings on his body, who had been naked, struck by the elements. And nudity is certainly the ultimate form of vulnerability. So all of his tears, all of his scars, his shivering bare body is all clear for Jesus to see. And so Jesus takes this man and he heals him and he clothes him. He takes care of him, just like we might have done for any of our family members, from the youngest to our oldest, from our children to our parents or maybe our grandparents. Jesus is given so many titles in Christianity, but in this passage, I consider him the caregiver. He is the one who holds and wipes away tears. You can imagine that baptismal imagery of bathing and feeding and clothing his people. It is such a beautiful, gritty, and relatable image of Jesus taking such close care of his people, just like we take such close care of our people. Beloved in Christ, just like the man in our passage today, we too are called to be vulnerable. We're called to accept the care that we are given. And of course, in addition, we're called to care for other people, to step up when the time or opportunity or the challenge, I'll say, arises, to do for others as they have done for us or would have done for us. It's also a message that really resounds today on Father's Day, and as we really celebrate all parents and guardians and caregivers. In the relationships between parents and children, parents are called to care for children, to bathe them, and to change them, and to clothe them, to keep them safe, to feed them, and to wipe their faces because they cannot do these things by themselves. And as we get older from childhood, sometimes we're called to take care of siblings or other family members or even neighborhood kids or friends, people who may suddenly come into our lives. And in adulthood, that switch is constantly flipping. Because we have times where we care for others, like when I would go from caring for my husband to being cared for by him in the hospital, to then being stepping back into that caregiver position for my child. Well, for our child. And so, we are always reminded throughout our lives and in this passage that we are both. So, beloved in Christ, give what you can and do what you can. Because we're always told that we are to be servants, just to be like Christ, who was called here not to be served, but to serve. But remember that you're not called just to do and do and do and forget about yourselves. Because sometimes we need care too. And that's okay. Because that whole mission of servitude and care and being caregivers is something that we all share. Where I can be a caregiver and I can receive the care of another caregiver. So let us meditate on both and know that we are both. Amen.